Today we're going to discuss something called burging, but it's not disgusting at all, as it would sound. It's actually called basking in reflective glory. Where do we begin with this concept?
Well, I guess that you would begin at the beginning of the origin of when people first started talking about this. It goes back to the 1970s and some research that was directed by Robert Cialdini. He was at this time at Ohio State and was very impressed with the fervor, the craziness that was surrounding the Ohio State Buckeyes football team, and how the cheering for the team's success and was such a powerful force at Ohio State then and prior and now, I suppose. And so he just started thinking about this, again, from the perspective of a social psychologist. You know, how does this play within the social realm for an individual's personality and their behavior and their emotion? And so he got together with about a half dozen colleagues, and they went to some very large, at the time, powerhouse football NCAA institutions. So, you know, the Arizonas of the world at the time. And so these colleagues, and he would go into the classes, and they would examine the students in those classes and look to see what they were wearing. And they were trying to figure out what was the proportion, what was the percent of people who were wearing something that was identifying the university, some type of university identifying apparel, whether it was the school's hat or maybe a T-shirt, something that had the logo or the name of the school. And they would just come up with this baseline percent. They then compared that to the percent of students who wore some type of university identifying apparel on a Monday following a victory from the university's football team. Sure enough, as expected, that percent went up. In a second study, they called individuals ostensibly as a part of a general, university survey, and they asked them a couple of questions. But the one question they were really interested in was, can you tell me about the most recent football game? And they listened to how the students phrased their responses. It happened to be a game that the team won, and the students tend to phrase the response with "we." We won, we were victorious, we were successful. So from this, Cialdini and his colleagues came up with the notion of basking in reflected glory, which is this ego management or identity management strategy where we have a tendency, a desire to increase the psychological connection we have with successful others. It goes, of course, beyond the realm of sport, right? You can see this in politics. You can see it in business. You can see it in, Greek organizations. But it certainly was first identified in the sport realm and has obvious ramifications for sports fans. We tend to increase our association with these successful others because, we are known by the company we keep. And more importantly than that, we know that we are known by the company we keep, right? So we believe that if I show my association with this successful other, I can then bask in the reflected glory of that successful other, and by association, look like, I've done something successful, worthwhile. They actually have recently replicated this. A colleague of mine, and he had, I don't know how many different individuals he had on that publication. They must have had 10 different people working on this project. And they found very similar processes when they replicated it with the go into the classroom and see what's going on. Others in the last 10 or so years have gone the social media route, blogging and comments and discussion boards, and it plays out just like you would expect it to, that when the team is successful, people in their post tend to jump on the bandwagon.
Who has figured out how to make money off of basking in reflective glory?
Anybody associated with making money in sport has figured out how to make money off of basking in reflective glory. Certainly teams understand this, right? So when you see a team that's successful, the marketers get busy, right? And they try and market that success because everyone wants to be affiliated with the winner. I'll give you a great example. So a few years ago, the racers are on another one of their how do we do this basketball runs. And it was the year that we started, I want to say 23-0. And I remember that students were going over to the Currys Center, to the bookstore, to get T-shirts. There were never any. They would get a shipment of 500 T-shirts in, gone, right? Immediately gone. People were waiting for the shipment of Murray State stuff to wear because the marketing department, the athletic department, they figured out that everyone wants to be associated with a winner. And so who's making money? Anybody who has an association with that team is going to make money. Certainly, broadcast companies figure this stuff out. I mean, you know, TV rights go up in areas where the team is more successful, right? They can charge more to show this programming.
Do you remember when Sports Illustrated used to package a DVD of a championship season along with a subscription? They were preying off of this to sell subscriptions to their magazine, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it works. You know, again, it's not something that's limited to sport, right? People have figured this out, that I can make myself feel better and I can make myself look better to others if I figure out a way to identify with something that's successful. And because it's such a powerful drive, you know, people go along with it, right? So, you know, how many people in Murray, Kentucky right now have a Memphis Grizzlies Ja Morant shirt, right? I mean, the Grizzlies, you know, they bring Ja Morant on their caravan to a town of 30,000 people or whatever Murray has these days. I don't imagine a whole lot of NBA teams, you know, traveling caravans stop at towns this size. But they understand that because of the connection that this town has with Ja Morant, that's an opportunity for them for fans to bask in the reflected glory of his success.
So certainly fans enjoy rewatching great championship runs or important games from a memorable season. But what happens when something retroactively taints that experience? I'm thinking of Louisville, who I believe became the first basketball program to ever have to quote-unquote, take down a banner. So when fans think about that championship run, how are their feelings changed by this?
In a lot of ways, that's going to come down to the fan's psychological connection to the team. If it's a casual fan, that fan will probably shrug her or his shoulders and say, yeah, those are things they shouldn't have done, and sort of dissociate themselves from the team. If it's a fan who is highly invested in the team, highly involved in the team, what the research shows is that fan will figure out a way to make excuses that justify what happened in that environment, right? So, you know, we were talking earlier today about the potential troubles that the Jayhawks may be running into in college basketball. Well, if you're a diehard Jayhawks fan, then you're probably my friend. But if you're a diehard Jayhawks fan, there's a tendency for that individual to want to, you know, discredit the reports of fake news, or, you know, the NCAA just has an axe to grind towards Kansas or Bill Self, or, hey, everybody does this. They figure out a way to cope with that negative news, that bad news, in a way that still makes it okay to be a fan of the team. Now, sometimes it's really hard to do that, right? I mean, sometimes the evidence is so overwhelming. When the FBI catches your beloved coach on tape saying, oh, yeah, we'll give him $100,000 to come here, it's kind of hard to make excuses, but yet they'll still figure out a way to cope with this threat to their identity in such a way that then allows them to get back to enjoying their fandom for that team.
Is there anything we haven't talked about yet that listeners need to know to understand basking in reflective glory?
Yeah, I think that one of the really important points to make here is that this really does impact the fans' level of self-esteem. That it's not just that they're doing this because they want to look like a winner. It really does impact how they feel about themselves. They've actually done research where they've assessed self-esteem before and after sporting events. And when the team wins and they give individuals a chance to, like, bask in the glory of the team's win, they actually then do report feeling better about themselves. The point I'm making here is our fandom matters. It really does matter to who we are, to the point that, well, if I can then jump on the bandwagon, yeah, I look like a better fan, but I also feel like a better person.
Well, next week, we're actually going to look at the other side of this coin. It's coring, or cutting off reflective failure, and I look forward to that conversation.
Thank you.